Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming to our roundtable, breakout, whatever we are in. And I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about several things, and really it's kind of a commercial. It's a commercial for the SCALE project, the Sub-County Assessment of Life Expectancy, which you may have heard of. It's a CDC project with CSTE, and I'm fortunate to be one of the sites here in Shelby County, Tennessee, where Memphis is one of the sites. But we're going to talk a little bit about life expectancy. We're going to talk a little bit about economic hardship index and how these things correlate. But the biggest question that I realize for people who are just coming to this cold to the table and have no idea why am I even here, what is this about, is it's about health equity. That to me, this is about health equity. And we can talk a little bit about that. But facts about Shelby County. So this is where Memphis is. The population estimate most recently says that we have about 937,000. I kind of figure it's around 940,000 on any given day. But predominantly black and white race breakdown, 52% African American, 41% white, and then a mixture of everything else. So demographically, that makes my county different than everything else in Tennessee and much more similar to the state of Mississippi, if you think about it that way. And since we're focusing for the purposes of this talk, it's really about the sub-county analysis. We have chosen, for a variety of reasons that I would be happy to tell you over coffee, to go at the zip code level of analysis. And one of those is technical stuff about numerators and denominators to get stable rates. And then part of it is a lot of health data is available to us that's already pre-formatted with that variable field, zip code. So in the gold standard way, we would like to maybe look at census tracts, but there are some problems with that because we have almost 1 million people in Shelby County, but only on an annual basis, we only have about 8,000 deaths. So that was one of the things that really impressed me as I started looking at this data beginning in 2013, is actually death is a rare event in any given year, right? It's actually a rare event. And population-wise, this is where our populations live. The darker areas are more densely populated. And so you see that in 2010, we had a dense population over by the Mississippi River. And then we had a couple of pockets toward the eastern side of the county with more dense population concentrations. By 2015, you can see that our population is beginning to fill in or shift over to the eastern side of the county a little bit. But we have the city of Memphis has about 600,000 people, and I've got about 340,000 people in six other cities, major cities in Shelby County. So leading causes of death, of course, chronic disease and diseases of the heart and all cancers, malignant neoplasms combined, are the two leading causes. But if you go down to the third leading cause of death, unintentional injury, in 2015, we had 478 of those events. If you're interested in diabetes, 247 diabetes deaths. Okay, now, if you're really interested in looking at health disparities and you really care about diabetes, and then you start subdividing 247 deaths across 33 zip code areas, what do you run into really fast? Yeah, small numbers problems, right? So one of the ways in the SCALE project that we address small numbers, and when you're looking at overall life expectancy, you're looking at all deaths. So overall life expectancy, it's not as big a deal, but if you care about cause-specific mortality, it really starts to impact your ability to do analysis, these small numbers issues in sub-county areas. So we address that two different ways. We do it through geographic aggregation, pull up to bigger enough areas that you have a stable denominator, and then temporal aggregation. You add several years' worth of data to get enough cases in your numerator that you begin to stabilize your rates, and then you roll that average over time. There's a bunch of tools and tricks. I am very interested right now, though, in one. This is sort of like a bleeding edge interest for me, is that for a long time, and that curve would extend backwards in time, that 7,400 to 7,600 deaths was pretty much our standard number of deaths for decades. And then beginning in 2012, we saw the number of total deaths began to climb, and the trajectory of that curve is pretty steep. and it's pretty dramatic. I mean, we moved from 7,400 deaths to about 8,100 deaths in just a few years. And I'm beginning to wonder, my hypothesis is, but it's got to be tested. I've got a graduate student working on this right now for the next year, is I think we're beginning to observe the bleeding edge of the baby boomer death wave that's coming. And that has profound implications throughout society. But right now, I'm in a lot of conversations. Memphis is going through a strategic planning process called Memphis 3.0, and it's, you know, urban planners and all these, you know, economic development people and everything. One of the things that they had not been thinking about that I showed them the other day was we have had for 20 years, 30 years, about a 2-to-1 ratio of births to deaths. But now our ratio of births to deaths is dropping to about 1.6, 1.7 births per death. And as this curve goes up, I bet we're going to get to stagnation or maybe negative population impacts. So these are things that if you don't really pay attention to vital statistics data, if that's not very exciting to you, if it's something that you just sort of take for granted, I would suggest you might take a look at that. Okay, so life expectancy at birth. This is one of those standard things. We all probably learned about it. University of North Carolina School of Public Health graduate right here. All right, thank you. Tar Heels, go. And so, you know, it's one of those things that you learn about in Epi 101, right? I mean, you know, it's infant mortality rate, life expectancy at birth, you know, dailies and all those sorts of things. But if you look at life expectancy calculated at birth, comparing the United States to Tennessee and Shelby County, if you look at it at the county level overall, you say, well, Shelby County is no different than anywhere else in Tennessee, and the whole state of Tennessee is a little bit less than the United States at life expectancy at birth. But that is nowhere near what the story is. And so my advocacy to you, if you're interested in small area analysis, is you're going to learn a lot more if you start breaking it down. And so when we looked at life expectancy, this is a five-year slice from 2011 through 2015. The life expectancy at birth in the really dark shade green is as low as 69 years at birth. And then in the lighter shaded areas, it's as high as 82 in my county. So these areas from the eastern side to the western side of the county, it takes you 25 minutes to drive that. But you're losing up to 13 years, 14 years of life expectancy. I have a colleague in Seattle in the Scale Project. When they first did their, in King County, one of the best health status counties in the United States, they started looking at it at sub-county level, and they saw there was a 26-year disparity in life expectancy at birth across their different geographic areas. So just as our Jim mentioned from Minnesota, just because you look really good on an overall national number does not mean you're okay. You know, and if you're not checking, you need to go look, is what I would say. And you can, of course, break that down in other ways. You can look at it by race. We can see that blacks have a lower life expectancy or males have a lower life expectancy. And this is a bar chart that shows sort of what the map said as well, showing that when you look at by zip code, you can have a good amount of variability in an area. And so one of the things when I first started showing this data to people, what I learned very quickly, you get two questions immediately. The first question is, why is that? And then the second question is, well, what are we going to do about that? Okay, so why is that? And so, you know, I showed you the issues of cause-specific mortality, leading causes of death, things like that. There's a lot of ways you can analyze that. But if you want to do small area analysis of that, you really have to think about it, because of the small numbers issues for certain things. But it is important once you recognize the disparities, and there's a lot of things you can look at. I've got whole other talks that are really long about ways that you can filter this data and look at other root cause issues or specific issues like heart disease mortality, diabetes mortality, chronic lower respiratory disease, patterns of health insurance access, ED visits versus inpatient hospitalizations. There's a lot of ways you can filter this data at these same scales and learn things. But one of the things that we're interested in helping move the conversation to the next point is going upstream. So let's get to some root cause issues. that may be helping us understand these disparities. And I have to explain that we're standing on the shoulders of Public Health England, and we're standing on the shoulders of Sir Michael Marmot and other people who have written books like, you know, Social Determinants of Health and things like that. And we're using methodologies that we've learned from Europe, and we're just applying it to our context. But one of the things that I stumbled across with my colleagues in Memphis who work on this with me is the Economic Hardship Index. And so I'm sort of beginning to promote that or evangelize on that issue, that this is an area, this is a way we can begin to look at those upstream issues. This was developed in the 1970s by an economist and a sociologist, Nathan and Abrams, published first in 1976, the Economic Hardship Index. It's been used a lot in the social economic literature, at least in the 1970s and 80s, and you probably find it from time to time. But it takes six issues: unemployment percentage, dependency, which is the number of people in an area that are either minor children or they're maybe retirees, so their dependents, their educational attainment level, income level overall, per capita income, crowded housing, and then the percent of people living below the federal poverty level. And there's a formula that creates a summed and averaged index score, and it gets at the synergy, because when you start looking at, well, okay, I want to fix something. Well, what are you going to fix? And then it's not an easy question to answer. And we spend a lot of time building all these maps, and they do start to look a lot alike. And so when we began to look at indexes, I think it's a useful tool. And the good thing is all the data variables are available from the U.S. Census and the ACS survey. So anybody, this is the other thing, anybody could do this. Right? Anybody can do this. So you can do this. And if you want to learn more about how to do scale in your area, we can help you with that too. But the Economic Hardship Index, you can see that this looks pretty similar to some of the areas that had the worst life expectancy in my county. And then you can back into the pie charts and begin to look at, for each one of these areas, what are the drivers, because they're going to vary from one place to the next. In some places, you may have more of an issue of overcrowded housing or underemployment or poverty levels, or in other areas it may be educational attainment or dependency or something is driving it. And in some of my areas that are really bad off, they're bad off equally in everything. You could sort of work on anything and it would probably help, but in some areas it may be important as to identifying the specific drivers. And when we look at how these two things correlate, the dark red is the life expectancy at birth again. Sorry, I gotta stop. And the blue dots are the economic hardship. This stuff really does correlate very well. And there's an inverse relationship. And you can learn more about scale from the CST website. CDC has it on their page. You can contact me. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Anyone?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really have a quick fix on that one. But Census Tract is another level, and City of Chicago, for instance, as and other places have calculated EHI for all their census tracts. When you get into rural areas, it gets to be a real challenge. Lots of things start to get to be a real challenge. We've got a colleague bopping around here somewhere from Maine, Jessica. She could talk to you a lot about rural area challenges. I think I just have to acknowledge that, yes, it's a challenge, and that we have people in the Scale Project who could commiserate with you and share best practices, and y'all could have coffee together.